Once, somebody asked me if I knew the difference between a citizen and a civilian. I can tell you now, a citizen has the courage to make the safety of the human race their personal responsibility.
The law of the country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, September 21st, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your walk global set red for core political tyranny, technology, and transfer your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking spam for free speech today. Taking spam. We're taking all the spam you can give us for free speech. You send us the spam, we eat it, and spit it on our microphone heads. And just by listening to us, you're assisting in the destruction of spam everywhere. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can currently get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N underscore Kennedy dot live journal, all one word, dot com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on RAN Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and yes, we can still be found on SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit, meaning that you can hand it out to people who you don't know, and you can broadcast it, and you can get yourself in all kinds of trouble by breaking all the FCC laws that are coming down the pipe where they want to make all radio broadcast material copywritten. But we'll talk more about that later. Let's get into some feedback, because boy, oh boy, do I ever got a bunch of it. I have a hard time getting through all my mail these days. Dear Sean, about that crazy motherfucker who wants to hurt those child rapers, who wants to hunt those child rapers through the gates of hell. Damn, that just about sums it up. You've got to do a book with this SOB in it, because it's some of the most hardcore shit I've heard in my life. Actually, just tie this whole news story in and make it make people really freak out. I mean, that guy rakes as badass of the year, as far as I'm concerned. That's some shit that a Christopher Walken character would do. By the way, I'm working on getting the Bloodstained Rabbit into the New York Public Library, as promised. Well, thank you very much. And the BSR is being very well received. Thank you so much. That's my first book, which I think sucks. Because there's a lot of, you know, spelling and grammatical errors in it. I really was not all that happy with that book. But boy, oh boy, if you guys dig that first book, wait until the second book comes out this Christmas. Because it's already, Sim's already got the working copy of it. He's just going through the editing process. And that one I'm a lot more proud of. So, you know, I think we still have some copies kicking around. If you want to buy them, please do so. If not, hey, no problem. Apparently, you'll be able to get it at the New York Public Library. So that's very, very cool. And incidentally, if when you're down there, buds, if you can check out when you put it in the library and you make that happen, if you could have get a photo of the book at the library and send it to me. I know that's a totally egotistical thing to ask. You know, but that's something I'm going to probably put in a frame and put on the wall. I know, it's pretty egotistical, I know, but, you know, I occasionally like to have a little space on my I Love Me wall, and I think everybody should really have an I Love Me wall in their house, because if they don't have an I Love Me wall, well, everybody else in the world's trying to call you down. Anyway, don't worry, there'll be lots of people trying to diss you, so it's always good to have, you know, in your chill-out space there. A little space for you, a place where you can suck back and reload, kind of makes everything worthwhile. Dear Sean, this is regarding the camera phone idea. And, you know, for the tinfoil hat crowd, I got this report from a guy who knows a guy. One of these was a verbal thing, not an internet thing. Where he said that apparently the government can log in through your phones and, you know, look out through the little camera lens or take photos and get those photos, or they can listen into conversations all throughout the cell phone. Now, normally this would be like, oh, yeah, whatever. But see, Ceausescu tried this back in Romania, so I wanted to know if this was actually legit. You know, is this possible? So a guy sent me in this piece of advice here. I'm pretty sure it's possible. So the simple solution would be to cover your lens with something as tape when you're not using it. Well, that's an interesting idea. You know, maybe have a bit of Velcro. You take some glue Velcro, cut a circle on it, and then put it around so the camera sticks through so nothing's actually touching the Velcro. You know, use the hook end, glue it to the camera. You can get those little adhesive constructors, adhesive Velcros. Get them at sports stores and home hardwares and stuff like that. It's basically like two sides of Velcro. Each side you peel it off and it's like Velcro tape. So what you do, of course, you take your X-Acto knife, cut a circle around it. So you put the hook side, the sharp hooky side, on the cell phone. And then you cut yourself a little patch, you know, of Velcro. And you could stick, like, I don't know, a small cloth patch on it or a piece of paper or whatever just to cover it up. So you just tear it off, put it back on when you're not using it. It's a very good idea. Sent in by Neil Osura. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, another one here. Dear Sean, I've just listened to your Monday, September 19th show. A bit of criticism I'm sure you'll take in stride. I hope you just forgot. Okay. You've mentioned this Christian Tony Robbins guy, Olson is his name, in a couple episodes, yet you haven't posted the news links or any details I could research on my own. Yeah, that's true. I didn't do that because I didn't want to give the guy the press. Now, I've always found Rant Radio to be an honest presenter of the facts, especially your stuff, Sean. Your colorful commentary is always appreciated, but we're not minions of Sean Kennedy. He goes on to stay here. A WOG is someone who thinks for his or herself. So occasionally, we owe it to you and to the other OGs to set the facts straight. When you post the web links, it makes this much easier. Please include addendums on your next show or journal posting informing us of this guy's webpage so you know what we're talking about in more detail. A sincere thanks for all your efforts at Rant Media. Freedom of speech is something I value very highly. We don't always agree with what you say, Sean, but as long as you lead by example to show that free communication is best for everyone, we will all unite around this little bastion of freedom called Rant Media, whatever our diverse differences and opinions. Keep up with the awesome show. I don't think I can handle all the criticism you must receive for all the things you are trying to accomplish. Thank you. Sincerely, Bucky Fuller. Now, normally, I take this kind of email and I bin it because, you know, I don't have to include any links I don't want to. I'll be straight out to you. This Olson guy, I don't like him. Okay, straight up, I don't like him. And because I don't like him, I don't want to promote his shit. So that's why I didn't provide any links. And I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I said his name. Don't be a lazy prick. Go to Google, slap in Olson, you'll get to his website, all right? But I'm not going to, you know, link the guy actively and promote his shit. Sorry, not going to happen. That's my ruling there, and I'm not going to shift on it. So, you know, start your own show. That said, though, I see where you're going with this. And, again, I can see what he's saying, okay? And I got another email which pertains to this, okay? So, this is from the guy who sent me that thing, and when I asked about the minions, about who was my minions, okay, Buddy got back to me and said, the minions looking elsewhere thing, when I told her, the mom, of course, this was the mom, what all happened on all this? This kid sent me an email, said parents were into this weird Olson guy, and therefore, you know, he goes and, you know, he's a little concerned, asked my opinion of it, I give him my opinion on the air, and I was wondering, she said, you know, my minions are looking elsewhere, and I what the fuck are you talking about, minions? I don't have any minions. When I told her, her being my mom, of course, that Olstein and his following seem to be somewhat cultish, she said that if Olstein can be called a cultish, can be called a cultish leader or a cultish, then so can you. And that's why she said the minions thing. Okay, now, this I'm just illustrating these two points here from the original guy from Bucky Fuller so you don't think I'm just an egotistical psycho and that I just do this so that you gratify my own ego, okay? So every now and again, I have to repeat myself on the air. I am not a religion. Do not follow me. Do not worship me. I do not want fans. Okay? I am not out there. I know there's people who enjoy my stuff and who support me, and that's great. Okay? But I am not some all-authorial messiah. Just about everything I've ever written, I've considered it to be fiction. You know? And I am doing the best I can with what I got. So, although Bucky Fuller, you know, is kind of picking it, you know, whatever, I don't have to portray fuck all that I don't feel like. Thanks, Bucky. You know, I'll determine my own show content because I happen to put a little thought into this. And if you don't happen to agree with how I do my show, fuck you very much. But if you know, what I think you're trying to say here is that, you know, you want me to make sure that everybody makes up their own opinion and that we're not all you're not all, you know, little wogs or Sean's minions. That's not what's going on here, okay? I don't know how many times and how many different ways I can put that out there, but just because apparently you're not getting it, you know, don't follow me as some kind of authorial messiah leader guy because I'm not it, okay? You got to make your own choice. Make your own decisions in life, and if you're not doing that, you're just following someone, eventually you're going to get fucked over or exploited. And that's true from me, from the church, from television, from whatever. If you're not thinking on your own and taking advantage of your own self and your own mind, then you're going to get hurt, okay? And that's the number one thing we try to promote here at Rant. I mean, me and Sim do not see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. The guy's rabid vegan. You know, I've been called a war hawk. I've been called a lot of crazy stuff, lots of differences of opinions, okay? And I get a little, yeah, maybe I react a little strongly, you know, telling people to go fuck themselves or whatever, you know. But I've been doing this a long time, you know. So I don't think Bucky Fuller was meaning to shit on me there. I don't. I think what he's, you know, occasionally they bark up, and every time somebody does that, I just, ooh, because I do get a shitload of criticism. But, you know, got to try to be open to it. And the bottom line here is Bucky's got a point. Bucky's got a point where, if you know, every now and again, I do have to set the facts straight. He's right there. He's bang on. And, you know, and realistically, with all the praise that I get as well as criticism, I'm sure that my ego has probably gotten a bit out of whack, you know, on some level. You know, I'm a different from some librarian who doesn't know anybody kind of a thing. So, you know, there's a lot of different points to be made there. So I agree with Bucky. Yeah, absolutely. Buck, you know, you got a lot of good points there. You got to say that, you know, we're not all followers. Nobody's following anybody. It's all the concept of free communication and free speech. And that's what Rant Media is all about. So for God's sakes, you know, everyone out there, especially with the sales of patrolling and all this kind of stuff, as the patrolling DVDs are selling, bear in mind, I'm not creating any kind of a movement or a following here. All right? That's not what's going on. I'm just presenting information to you to do with as you see fit. Okay? So we're all good now. Okay, we're all fine. Peace out, Bucky. Now, sort yourself out. Dear Sean, I have a subtle but profound problem. Jesus, you know. Now, when guys come to me with stuff like this, this is hardcore shit. Okay? So anyway, I have a subtle but profound problem. You are the first person I thought of when I found myself wondering how I could get help on this. I'm writing to you because of who you've been, what you do, and what WOGs are. Well, that's pretty vague. Let me give you a little background on this young friend of mine I'll call Gecko. Gecko is bright, homeschooled, and creative. At the moment, she is unemployed. Gecko has also fallen in with an esoteric spiritualist cult from the 1920s called the Fourth Way. Gecko lives with a guy who I suspect brought her into the cult. Most of her friends and neighbors seem to be in the cult, too. They go up into the mountains every week or so for some school run by the cult. I see lots of potential here for creating dependency, isolation, and an imaginative mindfuckery. I've been meeting Gecko for lunch every week lately. She's been very excited about meditation and something she calls receptivity, in which case, which seems to be some sort of kind of empathic sensory experience. Fair enough, I guess. Sean, you talk about the benefits of meditation all the time. But like any tool, it can be put to malicious uses. Absolutely. She said something recently that piqued my radar. She was excited about a switch that she found in her mind that she could flip at will. And when she flipped it, she said, it was like wasn't even being there. I'm sure this is the latest in a series of brainwashing conversion tactics to make her suggestible and receptive by disconnecting her from her own head. Well, I wouldn't be sure on that, but I'm sure that you know, the sure is a strange term to use there, but that is one possibility to be certain. Combination of switch and regular school are what really ramped up my concern for what is going on with Gecko. Up until then, I'd been given the benefit of the doubt. I guess I just hadn't mastered being able to tell the curious rangers of the hidden world from the wacko-minded, wacko-mind-control zombie factories. Yes, this is, tell the curious rangers of the hidden world from the wacko-mind-control zombie factories. There's some pretty good imagery there. Most lunches, I have to discreetly spar with Gecko in a one-sided conversational judo match. I think when I need to learn as much as I can about what she's being exposed to and how she's being maneuvered, I have to draw her out in such a way as I don't endanger her trust. I've noticed the belief system claims to have all the answers that are usually the same and really hate questions. In the fourth way, works in the way I suspect the wrong move could instantly flip her over to the faux column in her head. The old cults have a way of pre-short-circuiting anything constructive that foes might try to do to recover the converted. I don't know if I can even ask questions without raising her suspicions, I move carefully and slowly. Very always good to do. Major thing is that the Fourth Way cult has been around for 80 years, and so they're older than me, more organized than me, perhaps by definition any group of wogs, and probably more clever than I. Yeah, but if there's a lot of people involved, you have the lightness of speed. They have had 80 years to learn how to anticipate preemptive conditioning their victims against anything I come up doesn't make me seem as evil as they are. All I have to bring to her defense is my love for her as a fellow human being and as a friend. I'm willing to wager that your love for her goes beyond that of a friend, but I'm just shooting in the dark here. There are professionals who deal with retrieving victims of cults. I think I know enough to sniff out the ones who are not themselves fronts of those same cults. Of course, a list of trusteds would be welcome. I don't have the wily psychological know-how to do that kind of monolithic deprogramming myself, so I'll have to go to one of them. Employing such a person is a ways down the road. However, it's what to do in the meantime that bothers me. So, he's asking for my advice here. Okay, he wants to know what I'm going on about, what I think he should do in this particular situation. This is a bad one. This is a bad one. What we got here, all right, I'm not, you know, no naming names. What I think is going on is we got one individual, for whatever reasons, wants to help another individual out who he feels is being sucked into a cult. Okay? Now, if you want to know how to do this, if she's of legal age, okay, if she is of legal age, and if, you know, she's choosing to do this even though she's being manipulated, you have no right to tell her she cannot do this. Okay? Unfortunately, this sucks ass. This is bad. Okay? But you have no right, no responsibility to save this woman. None. Okay? There's you should probably just walk away. Because you know what? You can't. She's the only one who's going to be able to save herself. This is really, really nasty. But in this kind of a situation, the more you struggle to get her out, the more into the cult she will get. You see what I'm saying? Because they're there, her support net, blah, 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 blah. And do you have another option for her? Let's say, for example, that you go into this cult and you grab her and you drag her out, blah, kicking and screaming, away from her little imaginary world of elves and fairies and all the rest of it, okay? What do you got to replace that? Where's her support structure? All of her friends and family are in this, so you're going to take her out, tear her away on her own, and leave her alone in the cold, hard reality of 2005? Is that the plan? Because that's a pretty shitty plan. Now, if you're totally, you know, going to do this whole thing where you have a love interest in this individual, and you're going to rescue them to love because you love her, and that's a little different. That's a little different. A lot of people say, what the fuck are you talking about, John? I believe in love. I do. I believe in true love. I think it's a possibility. I think it is something that does exist. A lot of people don't talk about it, but I do believe in it. Now, if this guy loves her and thinks that, you know, something's wrong, and he feels, you know, that this, and there's not dirty to talk about, you know, and he thinks that, you know, this is really a bad thing, and she's going to wind up getting hurt by this, you know, and he chooses to break with convention and follow his heart, you know, God forbid, then my counsel to you would be to never, ever speak against the cult. Depending how psycho you want, hardcore you want to get with this, you could even join them. I would highly recommend reading at least one book a month on cult and cult activity, how cults operate. I would highly recommend you begin doing research on surveillance methods as well. Do as much research as you can on interrogation, mind control, MK Ultra, any of the tests that were done in the 60s, as well as there's a number of books that exist regarding to interrogation and psychological profiling. You're going into a really hardcore book world here, and you're going to need to do a lot of reading if you want to get involved to help something like this as well. Learn the history of the cult. Learn everything you can about it. Read everything you can about the people involved with it. Approach this thing as a war, okay? But you must tell no one of what you are doing, especially her. You must seem supportive, and you must be able to get very, very close to the heart of the dragon before you can slip the blade in, all right? So this is... That's kind of the whole, you know, Sun Tzu's Sean School of cult busting on the go there. But it's going to be a big fight, and you could wind up getting killed over it because a lot of these cults are really, really dangerous. All right. But that said, if you don't love this woman, walk away. But if you do and you think she's the one and you're going to rescue her because you got knight in shining armor syndrome like the rest of us poor bastards, then that would be my counsel to you. Dear Sean, we're on to an opinion piece here. Dear Sean. What is your opinion of left-wing and right-wing politics? The greater darkness. Okay, Mr. Darkness. Let's see. In a nutshell, because that's a huge fucking question, okay? But, you know, a lot of people are wondering, am I left or am I white? So, you know, I suppose this is a very, you know, simple question to get me to say where I stand. You know, is why, and because this is all I got in the email, is, Dear Sean, what's your opinion of left-wing and right-wing politics? Question mark. And signed by the greater darkness. No idea where it came from. Okay, well, to me, it seems that the left wing are pretty, you know, kind of hippie-esque. A lot of free weed going on over there, lots of hugs, lots of music, lots of art. You know, lots of very socialist stuff happening over there. Not a lot of people doing the unpleasant work. You know, they seem to be kind of... they don't really seem to get a lot of results. It's difficult for them to organize in any kind of a structured fashion. You know, their law enforcement is weak. But they're very nice people, very good people, and you know, they could be argued that the left wing is what the most beautiful things of the human race that are beautiful come from the left wing of politics, you know, I would say. And right wing, generally, I find, are power mad. These are people who are greedy. You have, the more right wing you get, and, you know, it's more about the self and your classic kind of,
Church of State Satan style, power of the self and things like this. And the libertarian is kind of that way as well. You know, it kind of goes, they're kind of a right-wing sort of thing. You know, they're all about, you know, total independency and all that kind of jazz. And, everyone has the right. But libertarianism, I think, could be exploited. And I don't think has enough checks and balances to prevent a warlord state, which is, you know, where it's basically mad oppression everywhere. So you got left-wing and right-wing politics trying to compete to go against the warlord state, which is what, you know, we're really rapidly approaching under the core politicals, is that we live in a warlord state where, you know, these certain corporations are the international gods of our time and we all live under their oppression. That's sort of where we're going with this. So it seems to me that the right wing is crazy and the left wing is lazy, so that leaves a WOG to do what he wants on his own out here. And me as an individual, I've been described as a centralist. I try to work on the old common dog, you know, some of the common sense here. Look for the shortest, you know, easiest low-hanging fruit solution that preserves life and decreases suffering. That's sort of the idea I try to go with. Bearing with that I have this incredibly racist viewpoint, apparently. I have this supremely racist human viewpoint where I believe that the human race is the most vastly superior race in the galaxy. I mean, that I'll come out and I'll say it. Human beings are the most amazing things ever. We're the shit. Okay, we're the Ichiban number one creation of the cosmos, as far as I'm concerned. All right? And that doesn't mean that, I'm not saying, you know, black people are. I'm not saying that white people are. I'm not saying Chinese people are. I'm saying humans. Like, the ability that humans possess is staggering. My God, I mean, we haven't found anything. I mean, we've looked pretty far, guys, and we haven't really found anything that can rival us. You know, some people would talk about dolphins and whales and shit like that, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, where's their space program? You know what I mean? I mean, when you think about it, when you look at it from what does the species do, realistically, I mean, humans are unbelievable. If we could get our shit together, if we could actually get some order happening, man, there's not a lot of shit that we couldn't do. So, I mean, that's pretty much my view of left-wing and of just politics in general. So, and incidentally, I don't ever think I'm going to get into politics because, you know, I'll just get murdered. You know, I got enough stuff going out there where, there's people who say, well, you're not a racist because you choose the human race. But, you know, I believe in animal experimentation. I do. I think at sometimes, not all the time, I think it's overdone. But sometimes I think it's necessary. Yeah, I eat meat. Yeah, I think we're supposed to. You know, I like organic meat. I don't like all the drugs they're putting into it. There's a lot of reasons to avoid contaminated meat. Don't eat poison food of any variety. I don't care if you put hormones in my apples or my beefsteak. You know, I just don't want it in there. You know, but that's pretty much where I'm at. Now, into the news. Wow, 21 minutes in on my own and we're into the news. Global warming news. Listen to this. A scientific team led by Peter Webster at the Georgia Institute of Technology published findings in Science Magazine. The team claimed to have found evidence in the historical record of both more tropical cyclones, such as Hurricane Katrina, but also a higher percentage of more intense ones. What does that mean? That there's more storms and they're more intense and they're happening. This following on the heels of the MIT's Carrie Emanuel proclamation on the August 4 online edition of Nature magazine that has found evidence that global warming in the last 30 years was producing more intense cyclones. Global warming. The conclusion many draw from papers such as these is anthropogenic global warming from the burning of fossil fuels by human is causing more lethal storms. However, a closer look, though, reveals not human actions, but rather the natural cycles are the primary cause, apparently. Much has been written concerning the findings of Emmanuel and the potential shortcomings of both myself and others. So in this article, let's focus on the results of this week in science. And he goes on to talk about, you know, this whole global warming thing and whether or not it's a natural cycle or if it's created by man. Now, what we do know is, let's go over what we know, okay? There is a chance it could be created by man, okay? We'll say that. We'll say it's, I'll give it to you like this. This is a walk. This is my standpoint. I'm going to weigh in on this whole, you know, this whole issue here of global warming, all right? There is a chance it could be a natural cycle. You can't deny that. There's also a chance that, you know, the fact that we're destroying the planet at an alarming rate could be a factor in this with the burning of all these fossil fuels. There's a chance of that as well. When you follow the money, the guys with the big money would much rather have it be a natural cycle because that absolves them of all fault, you see. And, of course, you know, the guys against the big money, the guys against the core politicals who are in the power, want to show off how, of course, it's the burning of all the fossil fuels. And they make a pretty damning case. you know, it's a pretty damning case that all these, you know, people seem to be making. So here's my stance on it. If it can't be helped, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. But if it can be helped, why don't we clean up the environment and stop destroying it? Because, you know, we live here. You know, it's our home, little blue marble in the great vast of space, of which is the only one we found that happens to be inhabitable. Maybe we should sort of, kind of, not fuck it up. Hey, guys, let's not shit on the dinner table. How's that for a plan? Okay? Now, I don't know why people are like, oh, it's a natural cycle. Yeah, well, there's a chance it's not. Okay, there's a chance it really could be all this methane and shit that we're pumping into the atmosphere. It could be true that all the methane being released by the Russian bogs and everything thawing up there is, you know, causing this massive global warming. Maybe we've already gone too far. You know, maybe we've already tipped the scales. You know? So I would think that the only thing we really can do is try to clean that up. And if there was ever a time to make that important, that time would be now. So despite what all the scientists say, whether or not they say, oh, yeah, natural cycle, la, 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 whether or not that, and of course, they're backed by the core political to say that because they're going to promote them, you know. But whether or not that's true, I put it to you as irrelevant because the planet needs to get cleaned up anyway. So why don't we just focus our efforts on that rather than arguing about why the world is turning to shit. Now, in copy radio news, now I mentioned this before at the beginning of the show, but for some time, the RIAA has been pushing the FCC to impose copy protection mandated on the makers of next-generation digital radio, of radio receivers. Think TiVo for radio. That's what they want to do. Makes me want to grab a C9. Now, as reported by the Public Knowledge's Mike Goodwin, the entire music industry has taken up the cause as beating the drum in Congress. So they want to make all radio into digital radio transceivers like TiVo, okay? Never mind that digital audio broadcasting is not significantly greater in quality than regular analog radio, but it's able to be controlled. Never mind that it's of vastly less quality than of audio CDs in spite of these inconvenient facts. The RIA is hoping that the transition to digital audio broadcasting will provide enough confusion and panic that they can persuade Congress or the FCC to impose some kind of copy protection scheme on regulation and digital broadcasting. Isn't that clever? So they know they're not going to be able to stop the analog. I guess they just want to, you know, put copyrights through on everything else. In other words, the music industry is basically saying that we're recording from next generation radio is concerned. The government must step in and freeze innovation to ensure that you can never do anything that you couldn't do with an analog cassette deck in 1984. This despite the fact that Congress specifically approved of digital recording off radio station and the Audio Home Recording Act in 1992. So this is about stopping music fans from doing things that are perfectly legal under copyright law. For a complete explanation of why this is a very, very bad idea, read the Electronic Frontier Foundation's comments, which you can reach off of my live journal. So that's just, you know, something that's pretty relevant to what Rant Media does, pretty relevant to the fact that you're hearing this broadcast. So I would highly advise you to become involved with this if you happen to enjoy these broadcasts. Or if you happen to hate these broadcasts and would like to start your own radio station to fucking destroy me, you should also go there and check this out because this affects everybody regardless of your stripes. Now, in birthday present / cyberpunk hit news, the cave monitor. Now, I'm not usually one to do cyberpunk kit stories on desktop hardware. Unless it's something significantly cool, like data hands, or, you know, when my thumb went, I did a thing on a mouse or whatever. But now, I mean, in the land of displays, this is pretty hot. Lieberman at OGizmo said, I took one look at this thing and I started to weep. I wept because this Athens 5-screen Bluetooth-enabled monitor is so beautiful, so stunning, it would be awesome with Doom 3. The resolution is a jaw-dropping 19,200 by 2,400 pixels with a 16.7 million colors. And the whole thing has a depth of only 2.5 inches. You could also get it with 2 and 4 display screens. It currently comes with, like, I think it's 6 display screens. 6. Could you imagine this? In a massive cave configuration. Oh, God. The 2 and 4 ones are called Gemini, Cinera, and Grand Canyon, respectively. If you don't have the cash for Big Athens, speaking of cash, that's another reason why I weep, because there's no way that anyone will ever be able to afford this thing, hence why I'm asking for it for my birthday, because I can never afford it either. There's no price listed so far, but you can expect it'll probably be about $50,000.
So for all you rich millionaires listening to Newsreel, set me up, baby. Now, in forbidden knowledge news, I love this when things are just, no, that's dangerous, you can't know that. I love this kind of stuff, especially when it's not regarding weapons. In forbidden knowledge news, when a New England inventor, Philip French, had his epiphany 15 years ago, he didn't dream that it would lead to an invention that would be pressed into service by a top-secret government project or spawn an epic court battle over the limits of executive power. He was just admiring a tennis ball. The ball's seam, if you ever look at a tennis ball, it has two symmetrical halves embracing each other in a graceful curve. And that intrigued him. I thought, my God, I bet you could do something with that kind of shape, he recalled. He was right. French and two of his colleagues went on to design and patent a device now called the crater coupler. It's a simple, foolproof connector for linking one pipe or cable to another without nut threads or bolted flanges. Very cool. The device is interesting on its own, but the broader legal legacy of the invention may be more important. In a little noticed opinion this month, federal appeals court ruled against the crater coupler patent holders and upheld a sweeping interpretation of the controversial state's secrets privilege, an executive power handed down from the English throne under common law that lets the government effectively kill civil lawsuits deemed to threaten national security, even if the state is not party to the suit. So this is what's going on in England over there. The ruling is notable as a rare appellate interpretation of the state secrets privileges as it applies to patent holders. As such, it is a potential worrying development for inventors. Yes, absolutely. Now, when you see this happen in England, okay, then, you know that's going to start happening over here. And it's interesting. I bet you that story's not getting a lot of press in England. It's probably going to be getting a lot more press over here in our side of the world where, you know, we value things like freedom and all that good sort of jazz. Now, when they start taking devices and saying that, you know, oh, this is illegal, this, you know, it affects national security, and it's not something like nerve gas or, you know, a brand new revolutionary kind of missile system, I kind of go, dude, it's a coupler. It's a coupler. How is a coupler going to be affecting national security? How long before we're not allowed to build things in our yards anymore? How long before you're not allowed to buy tools or things that are like metal lathes and things like that because it's you could be a terrorist building bombs? If you think that's too far down the road, I think you should look at history because that is quite possible. Now, in off-world news, we got this out of Tokyo. Japan may work with the U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, on its project to send astronauts to the moon if the program matches Japan's future space exploration plans. Education and Science Minister Narakai Nakayama said Tuesday. I see. So it looks like Japan could be thrown down with the United States for space exploration, which would be cool. I mean, you know, because again, get off the rock. The Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, that'd be called JIA, has laid out long-term plans under which it will decide in 2015 whether to launch moon exploration and, if it decides to do so, work with other countries on moon surface development by 2025. Now, I wonder if this launch back to the moon is just kind of a throwback to try to get people to get on side with the Republicans, you know? If George was like, we must go back to the moon and spread, you know, humanity to the galaxy and, you know, in an attempt to recapture that. Because I've mentioned that before on the show. I said, you know, that would be something he could try. I think it's necessary. And although he's, you know, might be making one good decision to maybe try to go back to the moon, that doesn't make up for all the bad decisions he's made. And I would hope that whoever else decides to get involved with the political game down there also can see the glaring, screaming obviousness of why we need to get to space. That would be another, you know, hope and prayer of mine that this would occur. But, you know, it may not happen. So we'll have to see whether or not the funding really comes through or all this is just, you know, a big cosmic hand job for election purposes. Now, in good cop, bad cop news. Now, this is, I'm going to start, you know, whenever you get any good cop, bad cop stories, send them in. I don't want to just run bad cop stories. I want to run some good cop stories, too, so we can actually, you know, get rid of it because there's a lot of interest in these stories, apparently. Now, apparently, sent in by Foulware, this is a bad cop story. A 73-year-old New Orleans grandmother has been ordered released by a judge after spending 16 days in jail. Marlene Matan, a church deaconess with a clean record, had been held on $50,000 bail. Her offense? Police say she took $63 in goods from a looted deli the day after Hurricane Katrina struck. Family and eyewitnesses insist Manton was an innocent woman who had gone to her car to get some sausage to eat only by... To go to her car to get some sausage to eat, only to be mistakenly arrested by tired, frustrated officers who couldn't catch younger looters at a nearby store.
hours after her plight. She was featured in an Associated Press story. A local judge ordered Matten freed of her own reconnaissance. Matten must still face a looting charge, but family armed with several witnesses intends to prove she was wrongly arrested. Not even the deli owner wants her charged. Now, this is a classic example of when you'll also notice that didn't mention what color the lady was. Did you notice that? Because I'm willing to bet, I'm willing to take a big stab in the dark here, I'm willing to bank that woman was black. And I'd also like to bet that the cops that who arrested her were probably not black. Okay? So what the cops saw was a woman eating food from a deli, which she probably didn't buy, so they just walked up and arrested her. This is retarded. This is absolutely and totally inexcusable. Okay? But this is why you have to give cops the ability to, like, these cops are frustrated. Okay? They're out there. They don't know. They're either frustrated or lazy. Well, actually, you know what? There's a choice here. We got a choice to make. They're either frustrated and lazy or they're racist. Okay? Those are your two options. So the guys say here that obviously the article entails that they're tired and frustrated. So they're tired and frustrated, and that's why they did it, or they're racist. But I'd be interesting to know if it was a black woman with white cops or, you know, what the ethnic background was, just for a little bit further intel there. I'd like to know what that was all about. Now, in conspiracy news, this is one of those ones that I'm going to come in on, also related to, weather thing. It seems that there's a theory to sure to cause a storm of controversy. There's this guy, a meteorologist in Pocatello, Idaho, okay? In Pocatello, Idaho, this meteorologist from this Idahoan meteorologist claims that Japanese gangsters known as the Yakuza caused Hurricane Katrina. Scott Stevens says, after looking at the NASA photos, he's convinced that it was caused by electromagnetic generators from the ground-based microwave transmitters. The generators emit a sound wave between 3 and 30 megahertz, and Stevens claims that Russians have invented storm-creating technology back in 1976 and sold it to others in the late 80s. Stevens says that the clouds formed by the generators are different than normal clouds and are able to appear out of nowhere, and says Katrina may have had the rotation points that are on unusual for hurricanes. At least 10 nations and organizations possess the technology, but Stevens suspects the Japanese Yakuza created Katrina in order to make a fortune in the futures market and to get even with the U.S. for the 1945 bombing of Hiroshima. I don't believe that Katrina was weather control technology. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to weigh in on this one eventually, you know, because you hear the UFO thing? Yeah, okay, I'm open to the UFO thing, all right? I'm not shooting it down, I'm not saying I believe anybody, but I'm open to the idea. I think that there are aliens, all right? There, I came on the record for that. But the weather control thing, I don't know, man. I'm going to have to look at some really hard data, and the whole thing just seems a little bit too tinfoil hat for me. But there you go. You know, go check it out. See what you think. Now, in dodgy law news, a 33-year-old Toronto man is facing 18 charges of mischief and criminal harassment after police released surveillance footage from a Toronto store allegedly showing a child being secretly photographed with a camera phone. Sounds innocuous enough. Guy takes a picture of a kid. Television stations around Toronto broadcast the footage. It showed a woman and a young girl shopping at an East End store with a neatly dressed man stood nearby. When the mother's back was turned, the man is seen crouching near the child. Police are alleging that the man used a cell phone camera to take inappropriate pictures of under young girl's skirts. A police spokeswoman said the charges related to the incident, to more than one Toronto location. So the guy goes around taking pictures of little kids' privates. The suspect turned himself in to police at about 1:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. So he turned himself in. I'm sick. There's something wrong with me. Help me out here. Police say the case serves as a reminder to parents to keep a close eye on their children and while they're out in public. Be aware whether somebody invades your personal space or that of your child, Detective Nick Ashley told reporters during a televised news conference. Certainly, when we're out in the general public, sometimes the sidewalks are crowded and your personal space is closed in on. But you're in your store and you're not that busy, and somebody is getting close to you or your child, it should be an alert to yourself. For most people, it makes them feel uncomfortable, and there's a reason for that. Edward Lee, 33, of Toronto, faces 9 charges of mischief and 9 charges of criminal harassment. Investigators are also seeking further instances from the public to determine whether or not or any other victims are in the case. Now, nobody said the word pedophile here. You'll notice that. The word pedophile did not come up. But he's taking pictures, sexual pictures, I would say, if you're taking, you know, pictures of kids' genitals, I qualify that as sexual imagery. Or, you know, why else would he be doing it? What's it, an art project? I mean, let's be real here, okay? Now, if the guy, I think that it's not unreal to look at the guy's shit, look at everything he's got, look at his writing and go, is this guy a pedophile? Is he sexually attracted to children? If he is, we should proceed accordingly and experiment on the bastard so we can get rid of this mutation and therefore save lives in our culture. Now, on to Desert War News. Now, here is the fucked up stories of the day. This I got off of Defense Review, a great website. Of all the insane stories that have come out of the war in Iraq, this might just be the crazy. This is a wild story here. Two unknown gunmen in full Arabic dress began firing on civilians in central Barassa, wounding several, including traffic police officer, as CNN reports. The two gunmen fled the scene where were captured and taken in for questioning, admitting they were two British Marines carrying out a special security task. Now, there's another one of British Marines apparently putting bombs in areas. Now, what we got here is we got two guys in Arabic dress, okay, who are British Marines. You got two British Marines began firings on civilians in central Barassa, wounding several, including a traffic police officer. Okay, so my first question is, these two British Marines show up, they fire on a bunch of civilians. Who are the civilians they're shooting at? Okay, because they claim they're out there doing a special security task. Iraqi security officials accuse the two Britons they detained of trying to plant explosives. This is what the Washington Post says. So apparently, they weren't shooting, they were planting a bomb. Okay? But why would they plant a bomb? Members of the Mahdi Army, a militia loyal to the rebellious cleric Muhatta al-Sahir, then converged on the police station holding the British men, apparently hoping to seize them in order to free three colleagues in British custody. The New York Times says they began attacking the station with assault rifles and rocket-propelled grenades, and British troops soon responded to defend this. So imagine this now, okay? You're out there with the Brits. You're one of the boys there. Guys go in to do some kind of an op, which we don't know what the op is. But the op goes horribly fucking sideways, and the guys get busted. Okay, and they're taken into detention in an Iraqi jail. A bunch of psycho, mud hut, blow themselves up type, decide they're going to break into the jail and kill your guys. Who, admittedly, this is at war, so what do? Are you going to let that happen? No, the British troops responded to defend the station. British armored vehicles fired on the station headquarters of the major crime units in central Basra and broke through its outer wall. Troops then stormed in and freed the two Marines. So these guys go in there. They're attacking. They're going to kill the Marines. The Marines go, no, fuck that. We're going to go get our people. So they bust into the jail. They free the two Marines. The pair were sprung only hours after British forces had encircled the building but were forced to flee by a mob hurling stones and Molotov cocktails, the Times of London reports. Two Iraqi civilians were reportedly killed in the riots, during which two UK Warriors armored vehicles were set alight. And if you go to Defense Review, unfortunately, I think there's a really nasty picture of a Brit guy who's on fire on top of his armored vehicle. It's not a pretty one, okay? According to the Associated Press, 150 prisoners also fled as British commandos stormed inside and rescued their comrades. So they let all these other people go. There's more. The BBC says the Marines were actually being held in a militia safe house, and it's one of a number of discrepancies in the news accounts of this confusing story. There are sure to be more. So if you go and check this story out, it kind of, weighs in there where you look at this and you say, wow, what is going on here? So here's what happened there. We got, where they were had something, has a large thing to do with this. There's a group of civilians. So here's what I'm going to lay this out for you. This is what I think is the most likely scenario. What we got is you got a couple of hit guys decide they're going to go in and they're going to, hit a target. All right. Some of these civilians, quote unquote civilians. All right. Because everybody's a civilian over there. They don't have an army. So some of these bad guys are there. The Brits decide that they're going to take these bad guys out. So they go to a region where these bad guys are going to be meeting, and they either go to do a sniping role or they go to plant a bomb. Unknown, but they're there to do some damage. Okay? Shooting starts. Okay? Something goes wrong either while they're planting the explosive or they're discovered, or when the shooting starts, they have no clear, exit, or somebody starts shooting at them because they realize that something's up. They freak out. They start shooting. They grab these two guys. The Brits are like, okay, now I... First of all, the problem I have is that they're just regular British Marines. These guys aren't SAS. They're not Spec Ops. They're just regular Marines. So they could just be out on an intelligence mission. There was, you know, they started shooting, being shot at, and they returned fire. You don't know what happened here. They did get locked away in an Iraqi police prison. And then, you know, they're all there. When the riots break out, they're thinking, shit, man, we're going to lose our guys. They're going to get lynched. You know, I cannot argue with the fact that they should have went in and got those guys, because if they hadn't, they probably would have wound up dead. But they released 150 Iraqi prisoners. Well, the 150 Iraqi prisoners are not my concern. From a military standpoint, you have to look after your men. So, you know, I would have to say that going in to get those two Marines is probably not that bad of a problem. The only downside is it looks like there was a lot of UK guys got hurt. Or I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I don't know what their losses were. Maybe they were willing to accept losses. But it's definitely a pretty wild story that's happening on the ground over there. And it's a good, you know, way to realize how it really is the Wild West right now in Iraq. Kind of frightening. Today's Daily Hack, I'm sure, is going to be drawing a lot of criticism from the Penguin Nazis, but I don't really care. It's on hardening Windows XP. Windows XP has considerably more functionality than Windows 2000, and with this functionality comes more services and more potential security holes. Some of the measures taken by IST to reduce some of the risk are outlined in the extracts below. These are security-related selections IST follows when building a Windows XP image for distribution with academic support. And that is all that I have for you today. But don't you worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast that can be, that can be downloaded everywhere, distributed freely, and brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people for the month of August. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L @rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Gliss called Equilibrium. And while you're out there, make sure you see the movie Equilibrium as well, because it's pretty hard to find. And it is, in fact, an amazing movie. Now, shake out your mullet and spark up the TIE fighter, because I'm going to leave you now with a wicked track by Cheap Trick called Mighty Wings. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.